Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, here tonight on a live sister. I have a room full of sisters. It's my first time looking back, peering around the corner to see how many. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're live in here. Oh, my gosh. Can we do the sound off? Can you start with one? Cheyenne, go. One.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Eight tonight. Tammy's not here yet. Nine. And Pastor Dow's coming. I will be interviewing your beloved shepherd and my pastor. I'll be expecting him anytime, 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so, giving him some time to get ready, get up the hill, and then he doesn't know what I'll ask. I do, a little bit. I know which way I'm going and which way I believe I'm being led. Bless you. I pray you can hear. I know you're excited. I wanted to tell you in advance that I'll be interviewing him so you can get settled. You got the next few minutes to do what you need to do in the house, you know, get your pen, paper, or whatever. Hallelujah. Let's acknowledge the Most High Yah and get a sound check first from Mother Jennifer. Mother Jennifer in Georgia, bless you. Let's hear your voice.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to the listening audience, all the daughters of Zion. It's so good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister, and I'm excited that our shepherd will be in the studio tonight. I'm excited that Sister Ashley will have a chance to present questions to him, and we'll be able to just truly hear his mind as a shepherd. I pray that everyone can hear me. Sister Ashley, I can hear you very well, and I think we can move on.
Hallelujah. I've known Pastor for 15 years. Maybe some of you have heard that already. Years doesn't always mean anything as long as you're always learning, learning his mind and applying it to your life and allowing him to be the shepherd that he's been called to be in your life. So I'm excited to have him here. I pray that I'm able to, you know, fish out of him what's in him for each of you. Hallelujah. I know that we have a lot of fatherless women that listen. We have grown women with children that are unmarried that listen. We have married women in the faith that listen. We have married women that are married to unbelieving men. We have women who have no children, no father. We have young women, 20 and under, that listen. We have virgins that listen. We have women on communities that listen. So it's very interesting to try to put a show together in order to reach all those minds. So I know Yah is able to do it. I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah. Can everybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yes, let that be their praise, just like mine, all of us. I'm thankful to know everyone in this room. I'm thankful for the journey of life. I'm thankful for the Most High Yah and everything that he's teaching me. I do always enjoy the lessons of life. I'll often tell the Father, you know, when I know that I'm in a season of learning, I know that. And I embrace that, and I take my time in those seasons. I don't rush myself out of them. I really do enjoy the season that I'm in. Lots and lots of learning has happened. I'm thankful for my husband, of course, being what I believe is a good portrayal of a father. I didn't have my father in my life in the way that Hebrew men are in their children's lives. I really admire the men who are embracing their families and learning their role and really walking in it. They have to learn like we do to come out of the culture that we've come out of. And I'm thankful to be a part of this ministry, to be able to see this and witness it with my own eyes. I thank the Father for every community, everyone that he's safely placing a hedge around, everyone that he's putting boundaries around, every one of you that he's sealing with his spirit. Thank y'all so much to the age mothers that are tuning in. Bless you and double honor to the elders, their homes, their wives. I mean it with all my heart. And we're going to be out of Genesis tonight when I kick off my discussion with Pastor. If you want to have your Bible, if you don't, and faith come by hearing, I understand. So let's jump over to Mother Jennifer. Let's hear her heart. And we spoke briefly through texting today, so her and I both know which way we may go tonight. And I'm not going to hold Mother Jennifer on the show all night long. She loves to listen, and that's what she's going to do. Mother Jennifer, let's hear your voice and your acknowledgments.
Yes, ma'am. I'd just like to acknowledge the Most High Yah for his continued favor and his continued grace upon us. We have, I looked around today, and, you know, we have saints that are visiting here from Mississippi. And it just reminded me of how blessed we are, how we started, and where we are now, and how he is continually keeping us and allowing us to grow, not only in number, but truly in strength. And so I'm just honored to be his, to be a part of his remnant, and to just belong to him and to have an identity, to know who we are, to know who my people are, to know who my sisters are, my daughters are, my brothers, my sons. It really is an honor just to know who I am as a woman, to know what my role is. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his leadership and his teaching, the things that he teaches his family, the example that he sets before us, the maturity that he places before us, the fact that I don't have a need that is not met. I am taken care of. I am kept. And just to have a mature, sound man to just truly show me my role as a woman. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, a man who has not only been a shepherd for me personally, he's been a big brother. He has been a father figure. He has been just so many things, and it's an honor to have a shepherd who is relatable, who can just speak to the wickedness of women without tearing them down, but to show so much love. So, and not only our shepherd, but his entire family for everything that they do, the sacrifices that they make every single day. So blessings to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, and to his family. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, new announcement on a YouTube channel called Regal Wraps. Sister Tamika will post different ways to wrap your hair. Hallelujah. Regal Wraps. Check it out. Subscribe. 3 months and 17 days until Passover. Can everybody say 3 months and 17 days?
3 months and
17
days.
Hallelujah. That is not long. I look out and I see, you know, return faces over and over again, year after year, and I go, all right, you know, you're showing yourself faithful, Bridget. Hallelujah. You're showing yourself faithful, Cheyenne. I see you every day, you know, just striving to attain mastery in Christ. I know the journey myself. I know what the war and the battle is like, and I know what the fight for peace is like, and it's definitely war on the saints. So I really commend everyone who is digging their heels in and willing to kick back against the enemy. I want to talk about betrothal and courtship tonight, so we're going to link that into our conversation with Pastor. Just while I'm waiting, I thought I would kick off some of the things that I'm aware of in the news. And this is unrelated to Bible, if you want to say, other than the rumors of war and the prophecies of the end times and things that would happen. So you have record-breaking historical weather, and maybe you guys follow it, maybe you don't, but you have record-breaking snow in Madrid. And all these things that I'm going to list is just in a few months of time. You have UK that is flooded, and residents, thousands of residents were evacuated. You have a cyclone that hit Fiji. A winter storm hit Texas. Mother Jennifer, there were 210 deaths. Texas is not accustomed to a lot of winter temperatures. You have a dust storm that hits China. You have a sandstorm that hits Kansas. You have flooding that hits New South Wales, unprecedented. You have another cyclone that hits Indonesia. You have 22,000 businesses and homes that were lost and just underwater. You have record-breaking heat waves in Moscow, which is typically not this hot. You have a village in Canada's British Columbia that was engulfed and destroyed by wildfire due to the heat waves. You have 364,000 acres burning in Oregon, which is a record amount. Floods literally swallow homes in West Germany. People dying in China due to some very adverse weather conditions. 580 fires break out in Greece in just a seven-day period, once again because of the heat wave. Monsoons hit India. Monsoons hit Nepal. 180 people die instantly. Others, you know, they can't find. Tornadoes outbreak just weeks ago in Kentucky. There were 30 in one night in Kentucky alone, while that same night, 59 tornadoes swept through the United States of America in one night. The Philippines, bless you all, if you're even able to hear. Last I heard, they had no power or electricity. It could be up to a year before they even get it. They're able to travel to plug in their devices to try to get a charge. The winds hit 120 miles per hour in the Philippines, and 370 people died instantly. 500 people were injured, and they're still uncovering injuries and bodies. You have 12 major cities that hit homicide records in 2021. So never before has the death been at this toll, from Portland, Oregon to Louisville, Kentucky to Philadelphia all the way to Austin, Texas. More deaths, more homicides, more murders than ever before. And one interesting, and this just barely even is a drop, really, a drop in the bucket, as we say in America, to what else is happening. And Earth is really groaning and travailing. You have a massive, what they call a rave, which you might say like a concert. Does anybody know the difference between why they say rave or why they would say concert? It's about the same thing, right? Like electronic kind of. Rave has like DJs, no singers, or similar?
They both have DJs, both have singers, but one is more drug-oriented and drug-based.
Okay.
Than the other.
Check this out. A massive rave takes place in the Saudi Arabia desert. If you know anything about Saudi Arabia's history, they generally have, since the beginning of time, prohibited so many things like cannabis, alcohol, homosexuality, certain dress code. Up until 4 years ago, women couldn't even drive, right? So now you have the very first world-renowned massive rave. It takes place in the Saudi Arabia desert. It's a four-day musical festival. It's filled with the world's most famous DJs. And guess what? 200,000 people attend. Queer culture is acceptable. Here comes our shepherd. And we're at peace in the land of living. Hallelujah. Guess what? They did a small 15-minute pause, though, for prayer. In the midst of this, first ever, women were allowed to wear skin-tight pants. They were allowed to dance with men for the first time ever in Saudi Arabia history, while the prince pushes new boundaries, wanting more secular images in his kingdom. He's tired of the history, the modesty of Saudi Arabia. Pastor, bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Would you like to acknowledge anyone or say anything to kick us off faster? Because I know where I'm going with you. Welcome to the show.
Sure. First of all, number one, to the Most High Yah. And our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, all praises, all glory and honor belong to Him and Him alone.
Hallelujah.
Subjects, servants, to do His wishes, His bidding at His will.
Hallelujah.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for your precious time. Mother Jennifer, would you like to say hi to Pastor? I would like to let you go so you can enjoy tonight's show. Please text Sakina any questions that you have along the way. Is there something you'd like to share or say?
Absolutely. Blessings, Shepherd. Thank you so much for showing up, and I look forward to hearing your wisdom. Shalom.
Hallelujah. I'm sure that so many of you get excited to even hear his voice. It's probably been years, honestly, that he's been on the show. Time goes by really fast, but I know it's been over 2 years. So I first want to go to Genesis 2. I'm going to read a couple of verses and ask my question to Pastor Dow. You ready, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Bless you. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, he closed up his flesh, and he took this bone that was taken from man, and he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. And so for the word woman, Pastor, without unveiling the wickedness of the woman and just from the beginning of creation with pure intentions, without any cultural influence, just the woman herself, what she was created to be. What is that created woman to you?
Well, it's obvious that was stated right there in the scripture. But, you know, besides just reading or going on what you just read, we have to go back a little bit further because Adam saw that there was nobody suitable for him. And so the Most High Yah made him a companion, made him someone that would help do the work in the garden for him. So he brought the woman unto him. And then it's clearly stated that she is now bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She is what completes a man in general, just based off of what you just read. And if we go a little bit further, the woman is designed to be there to assist the man in the accomplishment of the mission that the Most High Yah has given him to help fulfill his role.
Hallelujah. Pastor, when I was initially betrothed, and that's the way that we'll go tonight, is with mm-hmm. betrothal and courtship. So I'd like to ask you questions. I know women are, if I could say, linking up with brothers and being with man for the first time. So many scenarios. So I was betrothed, and we were instructed by you during that time period. We were a much smaller family at that time. You had the time and the attention to detail. We were instructed certain things like we weren't together after dark alone. We were always in the presence of other people. We had minimal and very, very good instructions, might I add, because you told him early on, you're not her husband.
That's correct.
Hallelujah. And so with that focus tonight, Pastor, I'd like to proceed, and I'm going to continue in Genesis. Is that okay?
Sure.
And if you have anything at any point in the show, will you please interrupt me?
Sure.
Thank you. All right. First and foremost, I'd like to at least acknowledge my shepherd as my father. I remember some time ago, and maybe it was even a year ago, Pastor said that, you know, I got to stop calling daughters, or I got to stop calling all these women my daughters. Can you tell me the wisdom behind that, Pastor, and why you made that decision?
Well, first of all, each and every last woman that's in the ministry, at least the way it's supposed to be, should be under some type of authority, some type of headship. I can only take direct responsibility for those who are under my leadership and under my tutelage. We grew up in a very dysfunctional society, and so there are a lot of women, a lot of young daughters, a lot of daughters in general, that has not been reared and not been raised in a Hebraic culture. And so therefore, they really truly don't have any idea whatsoever at all of what it means to have someone over them in authority, because the father did not do his role. And the reason why he couldn't do his role if he didn't have the knowledge. Let me get my Bible here for a second, and let me turn over to 1 Peter. Chapter 5 here real quick, and I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. Do you have your glasses?
That's one book. Oh, there you go.
All right.
Okay. 1 Peter, chapter 5. And I think this would actually set the tone here for that question.
While he looks, I do want to add that, you know, when he said that he would no longer call everyone his daughters, he was going to be wise about it. It didn't remove his title, Father, from me and our experience and our past together, growing up together as a family. But tell me when you're ready, Pastor.
Okay, so this is how you set the tone for the topic at hand. What is the subject at hand again?
We're talking about courtship and betrothal.
Okay. Start at the first verse for continuity. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Messiah, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now here's the instruction. Feed the flock of Yah, which is among you. Now here's the next thing I'm really going to hone in on. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over Yah's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So I said that, and I read that for the sole purpose, like you had stated yourself, your natural father, he had already passed away when you came to the ministry. In itself, automatically, myself and Mother Carol took you under our wing as our own daughter. And you know we treated you just like a daughter. You went on ministry trips with us. I watched over you. I actually trained you. I know that's a negative and derogatory word. Mother Carol has had much influence on you, and it definitely is showing today that you've definitely been under the tutelage of my household. And as a daughter of Zion, who came to the ministry without a covering, meaning that you're a woman of marriageable age without a covering. This proof text right here says that as a shepherd, I should feed the flock of Yah, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but of a willing but willing and not a filthy lucre. So that's exactly what to do. We have to make up the hedge in a lot of things that is going on in this world and society that we're in today. Because where we're at today, and we try to square it with the way that the inception of our people began in Torah, we're going to find a lot of missteps and mishaps and a lot of gaps because we're not able to close them because you have so much dysfunction at home because we're people that's been in exile to our Yah in captivity all these many years. And if we're going to have a restoration of all things, if we're going to restore our customs, our traditions, our rules, and our guidelines, it has to start somewhere because we can't just leave young daughters of Zion, women of marriageable age out here just running nomads and just bringing in traditions and customs of the world into the ministry. There has to be someone that's going to take oversight. And that's why you hear myself and elders over and over again when people come to communities or if they're on homesteads, if we find out their status, whatever their status may, if they are married, they're already under the authority of their husband. If they are uncovered or not married, then they automatically fall up under the headship or the authority of that particular community or homestead. And we do this simply because they have not learned our ways. And the quickest way to learn our ways is actually to be under authority, to be under some type of godly authority where you can receive guidelines, you can receive a guidance in what you're doing here in life because it's a brand new walk to the people that are coming in. And for the most part, people will want, they will want to do this right. They want to follow this and do this right. But if they don't have an example sitting in front of them, then how else can they be led to do things the right way?
It's true. I want to read Genesis 12:1, speaking to you as an example to me and any other woman that, first of all, an example is someone that you hold in your heart. It's not someone that has to be in your presence all the time or someone that shakes your hand all the time or someone that even lives on the land. If this man is a father unto you or by nature you see him as that, it's an honorable title. And for his resume, it's very similar to that of Abram in Genesis 12:1. Now the Most High said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. And from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Does this fit your resume and how?
It really does because I grew up in this world just like anybody else did and influenced by this particular culture right here. And then one day, the Most High Yah started dealing with me. I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, started keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments. Was actually in the assembly that kept the commandments, but yet still they wasn't going the same direction that I was going. After I got out of the military, I actually started reading the Word, being led solely by the Most High Yah, and now you see the direction that we're at today because if you look around, Straightway is one of the only successful ministries that has been running for almost 30 years that continually have communities developing what we call tribes, and continually to grow in following the example of what's already laid out by the law, the prophets, and the apostles. So I followed exactly what they said, and in following that, that's exercising faith. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go, where it was going to go, where we were going to go. Just like when you stated earlier, when we were small, I thought it was just going to be us and we were just going to die
too.
And be buried
me
here.
Too.
And that was going to be the end of it until
too.
The Most High Yah told me to make myself known
on
the platform of YouTube, which I didn't know much about. So I just threw up a couple of old-time videos, and he thundered in my spirit, and he said, I said, make yourself known. And he doesn't have to speak many words. What he did was give me an unction in my heart and gave me to understand exactly what he meant. In other words, you've got a lot of experience. You have a lot of knowledge in life, and you need to start sharing this with my people. And as a result, here we are at Straightway right now. And so I went out doing this, not having any coaching, any advice, anybody to lead me or guide me. I did go around and try to find people who was doing something similar to what we are, but I just couldn't find the same level of commitment and holiness. So therefore, we had to set ourselves apart even the more so. Some people we started off fellowshipping with, and then maybe after a year or two, it just, you know, one way or the other didn't pan out. And so we just basically had to just be a little tribe here on the side of the mountain here in Lafayette, Tennessee. And from this little side of the mountain, this little small community that started off on 13 or 14 acres. The ministry has thus done grown worldwide to the point where we're at now.
The rest of that promise from the Most High unto Abram says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I, too, see this as your resume. Do you? Do you see
the
promises of Yah through Abraham?
Similarities,
yep. Yes. Hallelujah. What an honor. I want to walk it up through Abraham as we build to these questions. I have quite a few at the end, so I'm just rolling with these verses, Pastor. Abraham was a father to us all.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at him or anyone else in the Word as your motivator because you don't have a man in front of you?
The law, the prophets, Moses, the prophets. Hear me over and over again explaining the roles of each one of these great men. Abraham, the father of faith. Moses, the custodian of the law. David, a man after Yah's own heart. Gideon, a mighty man of valor. Solomon, a man of wisdom. Yahshua, the Savior, the deliverer of the world. The Apostle Paul, the ones who was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, the restoration of bringing the Yehudim back to him. And that's because I follow them pretty much all and listen to their words, because in truth, they all really truly say the same things. Everything starts from the law. The prophets echo what the law says, and they're a mouthpiece of Yah. When the apostles came, they did not establish new laws. What they did was support what was already there. And this is where we are today in this captivity. We just simply lost our way. And so now we're trying to find our way as we're hastening towards that great day.
When did you understand that Yah had made a covenant with you?
When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because
right.
I didn't know anything about it. I grew up in the Baptist church. I didn't know nothing about no speaking in tongues, or having the indwelling and infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism by fire. I didn't know anything about that, nor the assembly I went to at that time when I was there on that one Friday night. Nobody told me anything about it because it was my first time there. So I had an experience of the Father that the people around me knew what was happening. I didn't know what was happening. I went back after speaking in tongues and being filled with the Ruach for quite a while. I had the old bishop walk up to me after, you know, when the tongues begin to subside and anointing begin to subside. He walks up to me, and there's probably about 100-something people in the place. I had my hands up in the air, and he puts his arms around me, and he told the people, he said this. He said, this man has been filled with the genuine Holy Spirit, and you better watch him.
Hallelujah.
So that's when I knew. And so I went back home. I opened up the Bible, and from that point on, I started studying the scriptures and just kept on studying. And then I knew what had happened to me because I read it in the Word.
Hallelujah. And the reason I went that direction is to establish the foundation tonight that you have to have a priest or a father or someone that follows the pattern
mm-hmm.
of Yah's calling to restore any of his ways.
Mm-hmm.
So when you want to restore proper behavior towards a virgin, when you want to restore
mm-hmm.
marriage and courtship and betrothal, when you want to do things right and restore Yah's law to a lot of people, how challenging is it to get everyone to one mind?
Well, it is. It's a big challenge, because not only when we come into the faith are we excited and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we just our spirit is bear witness with the truth that we've heard, but what is put on the back burner that we really don't think much about until we fall into it, we still have the old evil Adamic nature that is there that constantly tries to pull us back into sin. And so we have to constantly be reminded over and over and over and over again about how we should be striving for righteousness and striving for holiness and striving to be set apart and striving to be approved of him, even though we are approved, but to have such a mindset that we want to please him as our Heavenly Father, because if we don't, we'll digress. We'll digress right back into sin, iniquity, and transgression. So when people come here, it's easy for them to be excited because the anointing is easy for them to want to praise and to worship and stuff. But when you leave here, the enemy is still waiting outside the door. He's waiting to whisper in your ear. He's waiting to tempt you. He's waiting to find an opportunity of where your moment of weakness is. He's waiting to minister to you to where the flesh is used to that type of ministry. Because when you're young, coming in here at deception, your flesh is still stronger than your spirit. So you have to be around people who have already have developed the strength of the Most High Yah in order to grow. I mean, if, after all, I give you an analogy. Here I am, an old ox. All right, let's just say if you just use an analogy of a mother being an old ox, all right? Or let's say an old heifer that was out in the field plowing, and she's strong there. What you want to do is you want to yoke up someone that is young to the older one so that they can guide them and show them the way. Because on their own, they're going to be led astray. That's why Yahshua often used these analogies over and over again. We're like sheep without a shepherd, gone astray, everyone to its own way. So we left to ourselves without the fellowship of the saints, we will automatically divert back. Or we are in the assembly and we don't covet fellowship, we will divert back because our strength is still yet small. We can speak in tongues. We can read the book and stuff. But if we're not around each other to strengthen each other, to hold up each other's arms and stuff, we're going to actually succumb to the enemy. And, of course, if people refuse to get deliverance in any way, shape, fashion, or form, well, it can be set free in a lot of areas. And I'm not saying that, believe me, I'm probably the most premier deliverance minister that there is, probably in the United States of America. But after you get delivered, there still has to come the changing of the mind. The mind has to be changed. And the way that the mind is changed is once you have made your mind up and once you are committed to that, then you have to walk in it. It can't just be mental assent. It can't just be you acknowledging what truth is and then not having a walk and a function to line up with what your mouth has already given testimony to. You only get stronger once your mouth has already made a testimony. When you start walking, that's when you start gaining strength. It's kind of like a baby. The baby can start off making all kind of noises and stuff, and you can sit and watch the little child roll around from front to back and back to front, and then pretty soon it's crawling, and the next thing you know, it's pulling itself up, falling back down, and then a little while later, it starts to take one step, then two steps, then it's strengthened, and it starts running. And so do we have to go through the same steps. So don't be deceived. Because you've been 30 years in the world, 40 years in the world, 50 years in the world, and 2 years in Yah, that you're some type of spiritual intellectual dynamo. Because you're not. You're no match for Satan. You're no match for your old evil Adamic nature that has to be mortified and killed every day. So if you really want to be on the crash course of one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, you'll get with those who are already in one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit. And whereas you were weak, you would end up being strong because the strong ought to always bear the infirmities of the weak.
Absolutely. And the weak-minded or the mental assent individual is always going to revert back to the culture that it was raised in. It's always going to have another dominating force inside of it, driving its own way. Mm-hmm. So when I go to Genesis 24, I'm going to pause at different times, Pastor, and I'm going to talk. This is Abraham when he was sending a servant out to get a woman for his son. Okay. And I want to correlate this, just making pauses, bringing it up into, oh, let me pause for a second, Pastor. What do you say to the mind that says, for all the things that we are restoring, as you lead, as a father to the faith, as all these things that we are restoring, the mind that says, it's not for this time?
It is. It's an excuse. Axiomatic. You ever heard the word axiomatic? Mm-hmm. It's something that can't be unchanged. That means that the word is not the same any longer.
Okay.
Because we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to try to use the out by saying that it's not for this time is just a cardinal excuse. That's all it is. Because the word is forever settled in heaven. And the Most High Yah gave, you know, he's so wise that he gave Moses a word. And that word was good and fitting to all generations, all the way up until the return of the Messiah. and the prophets, all the way up to the turn of the Messiah. So when people say it's not for this time, are you trying to talk about modern-day technology, or are you talking about the word that never changes? You're talking about the word that is the same. I mean, you know, I have to try to get into that kind of mindset, because the prophet says, Isaiah says, seek for the old paths and search for them. And when you seek for them, you search for them, you find them, then you'll find rest for your soul. You're not going to find rest for something that is new in the time. There's nobody's had any testing proven and tried. There's nothing that's been established. You're going to find rest based on the old paths and the old ways. So the people that's using that type of excuse, saying it is not for this time, I call it secular humanism. What they're trying to do is fuse secular humanism and the knowledge of today, and they're trying to divorce themselves from the word of Yah, trying to establish their own righteousness and without Yah. Because, you know, I understand that. Somebody got to be left outside the gates of the city. Somebody is always trying to be a thief and a robber. Somebody's always trying to find a way to climb up and come over the wall and go up another way and trying to get around Yah. But the path is straight, and the path is narrow. And the instructions was we ought to walk in it.
Hallelujah. All right, so let's go to this account. I'll pause and ask you a question at every few verses or so. This is Abraham talking to the eldest servant of his house. So he's saying to another man that I want you to swear by the Most High Yah, God of heaven and God of earth, that you're going to take me, that you're not going to take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Now, in this account, Abraham is sending a man out to go retrieve a wife for his very honorable and valued son, Isaac. So pause right there, Pastor, and tell me, why not take a wife from the Canaanites?
That's because their laws, their religion, their mannerisms, their customs, their traditions, their way of life is totally contrary to the father of faith, who is getting instructions from the Most High himself, is contrary. They're totally contrary. So Abraham is making his servant Eleazar to go ahead and make a commitment that you're not going to bring in someone of a foreign nation. And why? We've seen this over and over and over again. We've been warned about this over and over and over again, that if you turn around and you mix and intermingle with one of another nation, they're going to alter. They're going to try to change. They're going to try to sway and persuade you from the ways of the Most High Yah. So that's pretty much clear cut, and that's just the instructions that we all should simply follow.
Absolutely, and that's the potential of any woman who has walked contrary to the Most High Yah and learned any other culture as well. So all of us as women have to be very aware of the potential to take a man and lead him astray. In verse 4, it says, you shall go to my country. He's talking to the servant who's mm-hmm. going to get this bride or wife, woman, for his son. You're going to go to my country, you're going to go to my kindred, and you're going to take a wife for my son Isaac. You said it already, but why? Why go to my family? Why go to my kindred?
Because the familiarity is already there. Now, mind you, Abraham had already left out of Mesopotamia, but he also knew of the people and the sincerity of their hearts. At this particular time and juncture right here, Abraham is concerned about making sure that the bloodline stays pure. Because remember, this is the inception of everything. And he wanted to make sure that these people believed the same way that they believed, served the same Elohim, the mighty one that he served, and not one of another foreign nation. This has always been the problem with Israel, is spiritual adultery. So the Most High has always instructed his prophets, has always instructed his mighty men to continually to warn, to make sure that we keep ourselves from spiritual adultery or spiritual idolatry.
Yes. All right. So the conversation continues, and he says, if the woman's not willing to follow me back to this land, so the mm-hmm. servant's saying, if I go get this woman, I bring her back, she's not willing, should I bring your son back to you? Abraham says, no, do not bring my son back to me. And he lays it out for the father and says, may the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, he spoke to me, he swore to me, unto my seed, that he would give this land and send an angel before me. He said that he would take a wife for my son. So right here, he's actually, Pastor, I want to hone in the part mm-hmm. where as a father, he's coordinating a union.
Exactly.
And that's something that you're restoring with our people. Why or how or what comes to mind here?
Well, nobody is above Abraham on the earth at this time, only the Most High Yah. And the Most High Yah knows better than Abraham does. The Most High Yah is the one who is establishing this covenant, establishing this relationship. And so in this, and while communicating Abraham, he's trying to burn it in and etch it into his spirit that this is the direction as Israelites we need to go. We need to follow this way and this way alone and not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's very important that we stick with the program. It's very important that we stick with the book and don't deviate either left or to the right. We have to keep this at the forefront of our hearts and minds if we're going to stay together as a tribe and as a nation. So when the Most High Yah says, Abraham, listen, I am the one that's going to make sure that you have a wife for your son. I'm going to want it's going to make sure. Basically, what he's basically telling him is this: I'm going to be able to pick the one for you that's going to be worthy of you. That's going to you're going to be able to raise up seed and this is the one that's going to help you in this matter right here. But if you don't follow my instruction, which we haven't got to yet, but you don't follow my instruction, the opposite could happen, in which we know our history is replete with that.
Absolutely. All right, so this man and his servant takes off. He takes the camels. He takes the goods from this master. He goes over to the city of Nahor. I'm skipping some things so y'all can mm-hmm. get right down to my question. In verse 11, he makes his camels kneel down. Okay, they're at a well. And if y'all were listening, this is really an occurrence, just like you got in your car, you drove to work, or you mm-hmm. stayed at home and you raised your children. Whatever you're doing, this occurrence was that real. This man bends down to a well with his camels, and he says, and he prays, "Oh, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray you send me good speed this day. Show kindness to my master Abraham. I'm standing here at this well of water, and these daughters of the men of the city, they come out, and they're going to draw water. So I want you to let it please come to pass," as he's still talking to Yah, "that this damsel, the one that's going to say, here, take this drink, and let me give you this drink of the camels as well. Let this same be the one that's for my servant Isaac," okay? And he says, "Thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness unto my master Abraham when I see this transpire." So my question here, Pastor, is there is prayer involved in finding someone.
It is.
There's man's prayer, perhaps, because he's alone, mm-hmm. and there's women's prayer, perhaps, because she's alone. No mm-hmm. matter what their circumstance is, can you tell me the safety in those prayers, and then also any prayers we shouldn't be praying when we're seeking to find that one?
Well, in everything, we're supposed to watch under prayer and in prayer supplication to the Most High Yah. And what he's doing is he doesn't want to trust in his own ability. He truly wants to be led by the Father. So when he's asking this petition of the Father, can you imagine how many women was actually coming to that well at that time during
right.
that day? And so this was a sign. You know, our people's big on signs, hearing from the Most High Yah, because they relied on him
yes.
in prayer. They made petitions to him over and over and over again, because he knew if he heard that petition, if his petition came true, and this woman did say that, he knew in his heart of hearts that that's the one that the Most High Yah had chosen for Abraham's son Isaac.
Hallelujah.
And think about that for a second. Think about it for a second. Here he is asking who would be a suitable woman. Think about that. Who would be? Same thing we're doing today.
Right.
Pretty much the same thing we're doing today. I'm big on marriage. I'm very big on marriage because the nation can't be built without it. We can't do like we've come from in this world and build it on fornication, that's commonly word, or whoredoms, and it's just bad. But to be led by Yah every step of the way, and then to allow him to guide us in the spirit and the show. I'll give you an example of what we actually do. What we do is we watch the character of a man, mm-hmm. and we watch the character of a woman. And think about this. I'll use this analogy before. Y'all probably heard me say this. I mean, I've been tending cattle and tending sheep and tending goats for a long time. So I think I'm pretty experienced at it, tending cattle and sheep and goats, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
So I think that I'm in a better position to judge for a man and a woman who would be better. Because today, the only thing, come on, the people come from the world. So what are they automatically going to do? They're going to, the first thing they're going to do is look at someone that is appealing to the eye or appealing to their flesh or someone who they think they love. Here it is. And enters feelings and not being led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the next thing you know, something goes awry, find out that it wasn't established right. I often tell people that when a covenant is made, it's made based on a word. It's based on truth. It's based on the guidance of it. The truth be said, nobody who ever got married in the faith never really truly loved their spouse. It's something that actually came.
That's true.
And you grew into it. So this Roman romance that everybody looks at someone as appealing to the flesh and believe that they're in love or the feelings involved, if you notice, none of that went on here. None of that went on at all.
Right.
Abraham has so much trust in this servant right here that if you bought back this woman right here, this was going to be
the one
for my son. Why? I trust your judgment. I trust your leadership. I trust your commitment. I trust your relationship with the Most High Yah. You're a man just like me, and I know you'll pick the right one. And the truth be told, that's the way a lasting covenant should be made even still today.
Absolutely.
Because when I've seen it once, seen it a thousand times, people go jump the gun. They believe that these are the one for me. And what are they doing? Repeating the same ways of the world. The same thing they was doing in the world, they try to bring it over here. And do the same thing and try to destroy the anointing off of the ministry and try to make sure that they frustrate the spirit of grace, the spirit of the Ruach, and they mess it all up and they make it really bad. So following what we're doing here today, that's pretty much almost what we're doing. A young man today would actually, most time, either a young man or a young woman may be interested in someone. And we'll just flat out say, because I've been tending sheep, been tending cattle, been tending goats for a long time, no, that's not the one for you. That's not the right one. And that comes from discernment. It comes from praying. It comes from actually seeking out. And not only this, making sure that this person, man or woman, is worthy to be in union with you.
Absolutely. Before he was done even speaking to the Most High Yah, Rebekah had already came out.
Mm-hmm.
Here she was, a damsel that was very fair to look upon. It says a virgin,
mm-hmm.
okay, which already sets the mm-hmm. story apart from many others. But no man had known her. So she goes down to the well. I'm going to jump down to maybe verse 21 or so. So she's drawing this water, and she does verbatim exactly what he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
She's, okay, giving him drink, and then, of course, serving the camels.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26, let's see, it says, the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Most High Yah, because all this had just transpired.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what, as you say, our people relied completely on, which I think is key point for anyone listening. You must rely completely upon the Father for his direction in your union. You must.
Mm-hmm.
It would be disastrous if you didn't.
Yes.
Verse 27 says, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of mercy and truth. I being in the way, the Lord has led me to the house of my master's brethren.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a witness, and I want to bring up that word witness, Pastor,
mm-hmm.
because it's a word you've used. It's a word that you've used in getting a unction or getting a witness of someone.
Mm-hmm.
So right here it's pretty concrete that you understand what he prayed came to pass, and it's very visible. But explain to me witness versus deception, or witness versus you know, how can you explain what you know is right and not go past it, not go past Yah's leadings when he's uniting you?
I'll tell you what, I'll use this story to actually do it, this account right here to actually do it.
Okay.
Okay, so if you notice this, Eleazar is actually watching this woman.
Yes.
In other words, he's watching her character. He's watching her nature. He's watching her mannerisms. He's watching her lifestyle, the way she goes about doing things. Mind you, he's got to look out for Abraham's son to make sure this is the right one.
Right.
He already made a petition to Most High Yah, and every block is being checked off, every single thing. So now Eleazar has a witness that this is the one right here. But mind you, look at this. Even after he blessed the Most High Yah and before, he still watched the mannerism of this woman. He made sure that this was the one for Isaac. He made sure of that. Today, what we do is we do the same exact thing. We watch the mannerism. We watch the lifestyle. We watch, because, listen, when we leave the world, there's a lot of residue of the world that's on us. And most people, because they're so blinded by their own selves and deceived by their own selves, they can't even see the stench. They can't even see the funk. They can't even see what's on them. We can see what's on them because we've been doing this a long time. You know what I mean? That's called discerning the spirits as well. We can say, oh, man, you know what I mean? But when you have a witness of someone, and you know what? You can always get a witness of someone who beats the character traits of an Israelite woman, a woman of a meek and quiet spirit. And we're not just talking about just someone being quiet. We're talking about spirit, really, truly quiet. A woman that knows her role in her place. It's obvious that right here that this woman has humility. It's obvious that this woman right here, I mean, you think about this. Let's go back to the well. Tell a woman today that she's going to be at a well, and a man, any man comes and says, woman, give me some water. How's she going to respond?
Pay for it.
Well, nigga, you give me some water. Who the hell you supposed to be drawing water for me? You see what I mean? That's the attitude that really needs to be adjusted, and that's the foulness. That's the cancer that is in our women today. I mean, do you, looking at this woman's character right here, do you think she's the type of woman that would loud talk, overspeak, buck up, rise up against a man of authority or even her own husband? So we look at stuff like this. You follow me? We watch and see that in the times of testing, when your tribulation, your trials upon you, how do you handle that? Do you take it with patience? Do you handle it with patience? Do you trust in the spirit of the Ruach, the spirit of Yah to lead you? Do you have self-control? Do you have all these things? And as we see these things, the Most High may minister and say, this is the one for this brother here. After we watch the character of this brother.
Right.
You follow me? Because we're around the brother a whole lot more than we are the sisters.
Yes.
If you understand what I mean. So it's pretty much the same steps.
Thanks.
Pretty much the same steps. Very similar.
Very similar. Beautiful. All right. So wrapping up the story, Eleazar, Pastor said, that's the name of the servant. Okay. So he sits down. He says, I'm not even going to eat until I tell you why I'm here. And here you go. You have servant speaking to her father.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also something that you promote. You
mm-hmm.
promote that father's witness as well.
I do.
And so during this dialogue, you can understand that in Genesis 24:50, Laban, being the father, says, the thing proceedeth from the Most High Yah. We cannot speak unto it bad or good. Basically saying, I have a witness myself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree? And do you have anything to say?
No, I agree 100%. I mean, again, remind you, we're looking at the inception of a, I'm going to use this word right here, of a perfect beginning in a tribe or a union. I said that because we're far from this example of what we're seeing here today. So there's a lot of fillers, things that have to be filled in order to make closure on this so that the body can be fitly joined together. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Verse 53 says, the servant brought forth jewels of silver, gold, raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. So there's
mm-hmm.
a price and a value for her. She had had
mm-hmm.
no exposure to men, which is also something that you discern
mm-hmm.
amongst women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their exposure and how many men that we may have been exposed to
mm-hmm.
also is very detrimental to our character. Do you agree?
It is. Very much so. Because if you notice right here, without with the Torah being written, it was already on their hearts. And they came with gifts bearing. Basically a dowry, a bride price here, right? And so this is one. And he automatically starts paying her value. You know, it's ironic. The other day, I was speaking to a brother, a young damsel, virgin, in the ministry here, that is betrothed, that is going to get married, spoke to her biological father. He don't want no part of her being married to this faithful Israelite man because here it is. He thinks that we are selling women. Think about that for a second. So he would be more content
mm-hmm.
with this woman being out there going to a movie,
mm-hmm.
going out for something to eat and a date and a Motel 6.
Loose.
And wouldn't say a thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And here is an opportunity for him to actually, himself, to actually experience the book, because his daughter has kept herself to this point, her virginity, which we can see right here. There's a great price put up on it, a high-valued woman. And he could receive this as a blessing from the Most High Yah, but instead, because his mind is so messed up and so screwed up and so worldly, that he can't even see this at all. This should motivate our daughters of Zion that are young, that are coming up in this, to make sure they want to keep their value, to make sure they want to maintain their virginity, to maintain their honor, and establish this from the very beginning. So establish the same way he did at the very beginning, do it now. I tell you what, I get choked up over this myself.
Hallelujah.
Because, I mean, wouldn't we all wish that we had a chance to have this knowledge, to have this culture upon us? Wouldn't we wish, well, how much heartache we could have saved ourselves?
Absolutely.
How much trouble we could have saved ourselves?
Absolutely.
I mean, the fragmenting of the souls is just off the proverbial chain.
Hallelujah.
I mean, but, you know, there is, whether people want to like it, comprehend it or not, there is a difference between a woman that is a virgin. Their nature is different. Their character is different. And a woman that is experienced. You're dealing with the nature of a virgin. She don't have Jeff, Tom, Dan, Jacob, and everybody else personality, DNA all up in them. So when it comes time for her to get angry and stuff, she doesn't have nothing, she doesn't have anything to draw back on. Negative influences, negative experiences and stuff, and have to fight and fend and scratch and claw. But then an experienced woman, she goes through all that. She has to fight. And that's all she's been used to doing is fighting.
Right.
But, you know, the beauty of all this is that you may not can't come into this as a virgin, but when the king comes, you sure can be a virgin.
Absolutely.
You can be a virgin and walk in character and nature. I mean, think about it, because I, as a man, don't have to be a virgin. Because I'm just as much as a bride of the Messiah as the natural daughters of Zion are a bride to a natural man.
Yes. Type in your code here so I can see Mother Jennifer's question. Chef, your phone locked up on me. I remember having even an elders meeting, and we don't disclose what we talk in those, and the wives were permitted this
mm-hmm.
particular feast. And I had mentioned how there's a devil who really hates our virgins.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, you even turn around and see that manifest even this year. And I thought of this because you mentioned the man who had an issue with a faithful union, his daughter being purchased because you or we sell women, okay? So I want to bring it back to this particular instance that's occurred where you said, okay, $22,000 and you can't come back.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is that's amazing. Where are they doing that at? That you would put that kind of value on sin. I would say not value on sin. You're saying you are not worthy of our daughters and our women and our covenant. Is that correct?
I am. And I'll actually give you where I'm coming from.
Yes.
If you, for the people out there, if they want to use these scriptures right here. Okay. If you go to Deuteronomy, first let's start at Exodus 22:16-17. This is the mandates and a law of seduction. This is where a man takes a woman who is unbetrothed and he lays with her.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, the first thing that is required is that if the father does not want to give her unto him, he has to pay the dowry, pay the bride price, because he's already unstripped it from, he's took her value, so to speak. Are you following me? He's taken it from her. If you go to Deuteronomy 22, verse 28 and 29, here's a case of the exact same thing is taking place, except this one is rape. In each case, marriage is mandated.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
In each case, marriage, because in this one right here, it says that she shall be his wife,
mm-hmm.
and he shall not put her away all the days of her life.
Yes.
So when people try to sit up and tell me that sex doesn't equal marriage, I say, you're out of your mind, because I just got two cases right here, two cases right here, that the man is responsible in both these cases to make good on his promise for, or making good for his violation.
For life.
So you think about this. How many times, I talk to the men all the time, you sure you want to sit out here and violate a virgin daughter of Zion? Because it's pretty expensive. Because over here, this ministry, you ain't getting off the hook. The only thing, your only alibi, you're going to meet these conditions or your ass is down the road.
Yes.
We guard the ministry here in holiness, true holiness, because we don't want y'all's curses to be coming upon us. To me, every time sin comes through the door, it's a test to see if we love y'all. So we have to adjudicate matters and make righteous judgment, because if we permit sin, we might as well invite the devil to come in and tear up everything, and we might as well be swinging from chandeliers here in the tabernacle.
Absolutely.
We have to have a standard.
Yes.
And that standard must be maintained. The only way that standard is not maintained is if we violate the covenant. Sin is a transgression of the law, and in that, what is that going to do to our nature? What would it do to my nature if I decided all of a sudden, even though I'm a man, I can just go out and start having illicit sex with all these women out here? Do you think that's going to keep my spirit strong? Do you think that I'm still, and I would tell you, I mean, I would still be able to preach. I'll still be able to teach. I'll still be able to do all the things because the gifts and calling of Yah without repentance. Are you following?
Yes.
But there would be something seriously wrong spiritually. That would be clearly seen.
Yes.
If you understand what I mean.
Clearly.
And so this is where we're at today. So when you brought this up right here, this is the first thing that comes to my mind. That's why I'm teaching people to maintain the integrity of the scriptures.
Hallelujah. And so during a courtship, there should be no sexual union. When you're courting or betrothed to a woman, there should be a very mature distance in getting to know her, correct?
Well, you know for sure, as I oversaw the courtship of you and Deacon Bell.
Yes.
Are you following me? I took you under my wing, me and myself and Mother Carol, as if you were our own daughter.
Yes.
And you had a stepdad at the time.
Yes.
Is that right? But you lived here on this land. I could see you. You was around me. You were in my home all the time. You was on going on ministry trips with myself and Mother Carol all the time, assisting and helping. Did you not literally feel like a daughter in my house?
Absolutely.
Okay. So how long did it take you and Deacon Bell in your betrothal? Y'all was betrothed for how long?
3 years.
Before you got married.
Absolutely.
Consummated, right?
Yes.
And I remember I told you, I said, Aspot, I said, once you get married to this man, everything changes.
Yes.
You won't be over dad's house no more. You won't be going on these long ministry journeys. You're not going on these trips. You're not going to, we'll have the relationship of father and daughter, but you no longer. And I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm being pure, under my covering belonging to me.
Right.
You now belong to that man.
Right.
And what I did, and myself and Mother Carol did, was prepare you for that man.
Absolutely.
And I might add and say that you and Deacon Bell are a damn good example,
right,
in this ministry of straightway and true holiness and a representation of what we as a community and a ministry is trying to establish in this earth.
Thank you. Thank you. I definitely could say that there was a lot of love, and love is also discipline, my sister. So it's not peaches and cream.
Also, was I easy on you at times?
Not at all. And I actually remember, I want to bring up some of the mistakes that we had made. Let's say, for example, a woman's heart is very easily consumed. She can be easily consumed with one thought. She can be easily consumed with one man, one idea, very, very weak, like the Bible says we are, weaker vessels. When I was with Deacon, we were together too much, and that was early on. Let's say within the first 6 months, you had to pull back. You had to tell us, you had to say, hey, cut it off at this time, you know, so that we don't lose focus on life, duties, community, responsibility, because you didn't want us to kick off a fantasy. This is not maintained. This is not reality. This is not what a marriage is. Marriage is endurance and love that prevails. So we had made that mistake. I do want to say that. So we were given just really good discipline along the way. I remember Deacon asking, could he, I don't know if the question was, could he court me? But your first answer was no. You can get to know her. Mm-hmm. And there was a difference because mm-hmm. I was not even traveling here. So you were being a father even unto him as mm-hmm. a grown man. I'm protecting you. I don't know this one yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the impact of even that, you know, mm-hmm. knowing that I had a standard that I had to meet and, you know, I had to be Christ first. So I do want to just put that out there because as people do learn to court, Pastor, I think mistakes can really be made. Fantasies mm-hmm. can be made. You used to really talk about it and say, you know, you don't want to tell who you really are
mm-hmm.
to that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really fought during that, you know, betrothal and courtship to go against the things that you said are such human characteristics when two people unite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the honeymoon phase or the fantasy
mm-hmm.
of it. But do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I mean, again, come on, both y'all have been in the world. And coming this way right here, I'm sure it felt very intrusive and invasive. You understand what I mean? Man, this is tough. You understand what I mean? But when you look at it now and you look back over it now, don't you thank the Father for the way
Absolutely.
That it went, though?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say it again. Look at both of y'all's example. I mean, there's very few people in this ministry, I can count it on less than one hand, whose example can rival it. So why wouldn't anybody else want to actually follow that example? Why wouldn't anybody want to walk in those shoes after you see the fruit of what has transpired? Because everything else short of that is rotten. Every single bit of it is.
I really do, Pastor. I know you know, you send praises our way, but it is simply just by following you. You are a very blessed courtship. You're a very blessed man or woman if you just follow the leader in your heart. It's not your speech. You know, you can say it with all the words that you got and that you can accumulate in your body, but it's in your heart. And truly, we had an amazing experience. We did at many times go, man, I wonder how long it's going to be.
Yeah.
But we always knew that we weren't ready
mm-hmm.
because we had not heard it was time, you know. And I remember the story. I think you were walking to the greenhouse and you heard they'll be ready in July
mm-hmm.
and or they'll be ready after July, something like that. But that's how it went. You had literally got it in your spirit. There was still like an 8-month period of time.
Yeah.
Before we even got married, after you heard the time that we would be.
That's true.
So when you really trust in the Most High Yah and you allow him to lead it, he can be so delicately involved.
Again.
Yes.
And like I said, I'll use it again. You look at people today, they act like they can't even wait.
Right.
If you understand what I mean. I mean, I'll give an example. I see these young daughters of Zion right here. I'm getting ready to take the cell phones from them because they're losing focus. You know, they're in my house, under my roof. You follow me? And I have the daughters of Zion, the mothers. As a matter of fact, let me go here for a second. Titus chapter 2. It says over in verse 3 that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their children, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Yah be not what? Blasphemed. You can't do that if they're always on the cell phone.
Right.
The older people that have an opportunity to teach them, I expect all the aged women at this community, especially when I'm not around, to be teachers of them. You know what I mean? If they have duties and obligations, they start to fall short of them. I'm not here. I trust in y'all judgment because you've been reared and raised here. If you ain't not meeting my standard like you think that they're falling short of, take the damn phone from them. Just set it at my front porch. But see, we need that kind of discipline today. We need that kind of direction today because first and foremost, instead of being enthralled with a man or man and being enthralled with a woman, most people are going to be waiting a long-ass time in this ministry. They think they're going to get married within the next 6 months or 3 months or 2 months when I watch it walk, including the people who are betrothed to men who are not even on this ministry, not even on this community right here. You know, there's the Hebrews, the faith chapter that says, you know, that they must give an account, that they watch for your souls. I call the heads of the communities up there and ask them for an account of the male or the female, whoever it may be, who may be involved with someone here. At this particular minute, there's always communication going on.
Yes.
And if I get anything that throws up flags in my heart and stuff, you may have a date that you may perceive and believe, but we're not going past y'all.
Yes.
We're not going past y'all. The people themselves are the ones who are going to keep themselves from being married.
And this is why I call you a father to my face, right there, mm-hmm. those things behind the scenes. So should there be hours of alone time? Can you give me yes or no's and then add your – I got a few questions here,
okay.
like maybe four. You just say yes or no and then add something if you would like to, okay? Should there be hours of alone time in a courtship?
No.
Should there be directions from the man to the woman on how to dress?
What man? You are
the betrothed
man.
The betrothed man that has the woman that he is not yet married to. Should he give her direction on how to dress?
He has no authority. The woman is still in her father's house. So he is not her head at that time. I don't know where this illusion comes from, but he has not taken his woman into his household. They are not married. I mean, can you imagine, here's Rebecca right here, and here's Isaac telling Rebecca way over in Mesopotamia what to do. Long-distance relationship, mind you, they didn't have cell phones then. Are you following me?
Right.
So word traveled real slow. They didn't have any communication with each other. They didn't even communicate with each other. The bottom line, when you look at the end of this story, is will you go with this man? And she said yes, and she didn't even lay eye on Isaac.
Right.
She had already committed based on what she had saw, him speaking to her father, the dialogue that they had, the amount of bride price that was set down and laid down. They're discerning each other. So, I mean, today you're fortunate if you can be able to speak to each other 5 minutes to tell you the truth. But to go hours on end, weeks on weeks and weeks, see, that's what I'm saying. People are losing focus and losing sight of what true holiness is all about. So no, it shouldn't be all that time and talking. And no, your betrothed do not tell you anything concerning your dress. He can do that once you get married. But as long as you're in my house, no man is going to tell you what to do. I don't care how betrothed you are, because I'm the one who's going to tell you yay or nay when you're going to get married, if it's ever going to happen.
Yes. And I remember this, you saying the same thing to me. I mean, this is 15 years later. The man is still saying the same standard of holiness. Let's go to the account in verse 60 in Genesis chapter 24. They blessed Rebekah because Laban has a witness. Eliezer has a witness. All right, let's take her to Isaac. And Rebekah gets blessed, okay? She rises up, her and her damsels, they ride on the camel. She didn't go alone. And here's what Pastor was talking about. She had said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it's my master. So this is Eliezer saying, that's my master. Therefore, if she takes a veil, she covers herself. So that's what you're saying. There's no sexual attraction.
None.
I can't see her.
He can't even see her. He don't know if the woman looks like a dog. He don't know
right.
what the woman looks like. She could be buck-tooth blind in one eye, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trusting the judgment of the servant.
Right.
Eliezer.
Right.
I mean, you see what I mean?
Yes.
Now, in this, let's fill in the gaps right here. Where was the communication?
Right, none.
Where did they walk long hours or 20 or 30 minutes speaking about the facts of life? What was even established there?
Matter of fact, verse 67, Pastor says, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife.
There was none. The consummation of the union is what constituted marriage.
And it was based off the trust of the men.
Based off the trust of the men, which women don't want today. If you understand, they don't want that today. Because this is a feminist society right here. It's a cancer. It's a cancer to the Israelite faith. It's a cancer. It's a stench in the nose and nostrils of the Most High Yah. And so, you know, you often hear me over and over again. I make a lot. I'm proud, and I make mouths and brag a lot about this ministry marrying a lot of virgins.
Yes.
I do. And I can tell you right now that every single union that we put together as virgins, we don't have the trouble out of them that we do out of the people who has already been experienced.
Or that didn't wait.
That didn't wait. And
right.
The ones that didn't wait, well, them the ones we get the most trouble out of.
Absolutely.
Because they hadn't learned nothing. Again, they only learned from what they already previously knew and drew upon, which was their flesh, the old evil Adamic nature. And the woman didn't even value herself enough to even wait. Even if she wasn't a virgin and she thought that a man was interested in it, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to try to prove yourself. and you don't even want that. And then, but you want us to counsel someone that is uncounselable. Does that make sense?
Right.
You want us to give you direction and instruction for all these crazy problems that are happening in your marriage, but you didn't want to take our instruction from the very beginning. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it sounds like, and nobody can say that we don't want people to be married, because then they're lying, because every time you turn around, there's a marriage taking place here. If you follow
right.
They're out of their mind. What that is an offended spirit, because things are not happening the way they want it to happen. I'm gonna draw on this again. You see, I'm an old farmer, and I've been tending cattle for a long time, and sheep, and goats. I think I pretty much know what a good hindquarter is. I think I pretty much know what a good goat is and a good sheep is. Using strong Hebrew analogies and concrete sayings, I think I pretty much know a man and a woman when I see them. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
I think I pretty much know who they are. I think I know them better than themselves, better than themselves.
So, Pastor Four, you know, you really answered. I had these should a man do this or should a man do that questions. You really answered them all just then by saying he has no authority until he is the husband. What point does that man assume leadership? Just making it clear, what point does that man assume leadership over his woman?
He assumes leadership as soon as he consummates.
All right. Hallelujah. And if there are, and maybe there are many women who, you know, they're not going to knock on your door, bug you, maybe they're in other communities or whatever, they're in these circumstances and they're betrothed or they're getting to know someone, how does she handle being given direction by this man that's outside of what you just said?
First of all, you don't transgress or go against your head. I've already given you direction. I mean, do I need to speak Mandarin in order for you to understand?
Right.
I need to speak bullshit in order for you to understand? I just made it so damn clear.
Oh, hell yes.
I'm the authority here. He's not the authority.
Yes, okay.
And if it's something that you feel like you're being pressed, then as your surrogate father figure, come and tell me, and let me take care of it.
Yes, okay. Can you speak to the maturity of the young minds, or what type of, you know, experience has taught you a lot? And when we look down at the younger virgins who have not had a lot of life's experiences, I do tell them, Israel is going to give you your stripes. I got mine in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is going to teach you. How can you give them a word of encouragement to produce maturity at their age with their lack of experience when older ones lack maturity, when older ones lack waiting, when older ones lack waiting, or we've gone too far in the world? What can you say to them to just keep them?
You know, as human beings, and I hate to use that statement, but I'm going to say that, it's amazing the level of deception that we find ourselves in. Because a lot of times we want answers, but then again, we don't want the answers. So what we do is we go to the path of least resistance rather than going to those who we know is going to shoot to us straight. If there's a young woman that wanted some strong counsel, some wise counsel, I'm going to send her to Mother Carol, Mama Nellie, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer. Does that make sense? I'm not going to send her to some foolish young woman that is her age, or someone that doesn't have tenure, that hasn't been as, or I'm not going to send her to an old woman who herself hadn't even met the conditions of holiness and the standard of righteousness, who don't even have a track record of actually living this for a long time. You see what I mean? Put yourself in a position to be accountable. Place yourself in a place to where that you know that those who have the rule over you, they are watching for your soul greater than what you ever could.
Right. Mother Jennifer has said, I've heard Ashley quote, there's a devil who hates our virgins. My question is, how can we build up the virgins in the midst of that spirit that wants to tear them down and ruin their value? And you've kind of touched on it now, but
also, the way you build up virgins is flat-out discipline. It's flat-out discipline.
Okay.
I mean, you think about, what does the apocryphal tell the father the way that he should treat his daughter, how he should speak to his
right.
daughter?
Don't even laugh.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
What does it say again?
Don't even laugh with her.
You see what I mean? Yeah. You see what I mean? She needs to get used to that because she's getting ready to be up under a man's authority.
Right.
You follow me? So the same way that her father is speaking to her, I'm not saying it has to be rough like at all times, because a man really truly wants to be delicate and tender to his bride, if you follow me. But there are times that you simply are just going to have to lay down the law and lay down the discipline. And in those checks, that's an opportunity and time to see how you're going to perform if you're under headship, if you're under authority. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
So if you can't get it right up under the authority you're under right now, you're not going to get it right later on. So the way you protect them is you make sure you hold their ass to the fire. You stay in their face, correcting them, instructing them, and don't let up. Because once they get married, there ain't going to be no more correction and instruction.
Right.
Because that man, if he's not an honorable Israelite, he may undo everything that you didn't do. Undo everything that you've done. And you messed up on these opportunities, and he's not going to have his wife going over there sneaking and talking over to another woman who's already betrothed, because then he's going to feel like the woman is trying to run my house. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I often tell people, you ever heard Elder Mitch say over and over again that his snitch game is on?
Yes.
That's what needs to be happening in Israel.
Yes.
I don't give a damn if you're married or not. Yeah, you're under authority and stuff, but if you perceive that your husband is doing something wrong, you better have a strong snitch game.
Right.
We're wise enough to know how to handle it. I'm wise enough to know that if somebody got something to say about their husband, and they don't like, if they perceiving that they're in a gag order and they don't think that it's right or something like that, I'm wise enough, wiser than you and your husband, to know how to handle this, to get to the bottom line and know how to change the situation. Because, again, we're dealing with people who have been painted and spotted by the world. When we read these accounts, we're reading accounts of people who are set apart, people who are holy, people who didn't have the same challenges that we've got today. They didn't have them. I mean, I look at the character of Rebecca right here, and it makes me want to just go jump back in time and go marry her. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
I set up and I put up a video on Patreon the other day, and I set up and looked at these Gentile women from Thailand. Thailand! Fit, feminine, beautiful, submissive, have other elation on the countenance of their face, serving their husbands. They are reared and taught like that because they come from the culture of the East. This is the culture of the West, where a woman being boisterous and loudmouth and talking shit and rising up and rebelling and stuff, which is going to give her a sure way to hell, because if you talk to a man like that, you talk to your husband like that, you talk to the father like that. Is that making sense?
Yes.
You sit and look at all these character traits, you go, how can a Gentile woman be that submissive, be that loving, be that kind, be that committed? And we're sitting here in Israel to where we have the word ministered to us, we have deliverance at our fingertips, we have counsel anytime we want, any time of the day. We have so much word preached to us and stuff, and we can't even touch them. Nowhere near in character. So the way you're going to teach or keep any of the women in the ministry, virgins, all of them and stuff, is by discipline, strict discipline.
Very well said. So if a young woman or young virgin, unspotted by the world or untouched by a man, encounters rejection, hatred, jealousies from another woman,
mm-hmm.
nature to nature, because spilt milk,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's lost her opportunity. She has an arrogance, or she's making stabs at her.
I got
her.
You.
Yes. What do you tell her to do?
Okay, first thing to do to make this very, very simple, it's pretty simple, is to do this. Again, I'm going back to my scripture over in Titus chapter 2. It says, you know, the mothers ought to do what? Teach the younger. Is that right? So you have mothers sitting in front of you. Are you following me? Who is a mother to you? Who's a reliable mother? Go tell her first. And then let her, because she's probably going to take you and get you in front of the person that's doing that. And check them. Give the mothers an opportunity to do their job. That's the first thing I would say.
Yes.
All right? The next thing, if it can't be resolved from there, bring the mother and the father, the one who's your authority.
Yes.
And we'll go to that person.
Yes.
See, this is how the devil is. Look at the devil is a lie. See, the devil is full of shit. See, what he wants to do, his evil behind closed doors. And he don't want to be discovered, because he don't want nobody exposing him when he's cutting the food.
Right.
So he gets his strength in being hidden. Are you following me? Secret places, hiding behind doors and stuff. And that's the whole time he's robbing you of joy, stealing your peace, tormenting your mind. I believe wholeheartedly, that you go and bring somebody else in because that's what Yahshua said do. That's just what he said do. But he don't want to be exposed like that for the wicked person that he is. And for us to sit up and think that we are under some type of gag order where we can't speak freely, that is nothing but satanic deception in itself. A righteous man loves judgment. And that's in a generic form, meaning male and female, loves judgment. So if you got somebody that's talking to you, and violating you, and even if you perceive it, be it real or not, still go tell your mother. Tell someone who's a mother figure. Don't tell everybody.
Right.
Tell somebody who you know who has the character of a mother. Someone who's been in this for a while. They can discern.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't resolve it from there and this behavior continues on, then bring it up to the head. And they'll resolve it. And that's how you put the evil away from you. That's how you cut off the head of the serpent.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
It does. I do just want to give praises for a moment of something visually I've seen and how Sister Bobby, Big Freeman, Nadia Lee, very beautiful protection, things
mm-hmm.
done right,
mm-hmm.
a lot of honor manifest, Lee developing a great relationship with Big Freeman, that's just me looking on the outside, and Nadia very well protected, and why I bring that up is because you don't go to Nadia like that.
Right.
Because she has a father and a mother.
Yeah, and Nadia will go to him, too.
Right, right. And so when you don't have what she has, and I'm using that for a really high standard and a good standard, look at that, and like he said, you're applying who is the mother to me or the father to me, and let's do that. Let's create that same hedge. Let's get that same strength about ourselves that's not going to allow just anything to be presented to me. Now, there's a question in the chat that says, what if a woman does not have the authority over her and this man is attempting to function outside of his position in the troposphere stage? Now, we did cover this already, and Pastor did address it. I know there's a lot of information when you're listening and it's live like this, so if you go back and hear the repeat, you're going to hear your answer. I want to change your question to, if a young woman ever disagrees or backs out of a betrothal, what is the effect of her status? What is that effect on her character?
Her status still remains intact.
Okay.
It still remains intact because there's been no consummation. The contract or the agreement that is there has not taken place. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there's no blotch, there's no hit upon her, are you following me? But she's not the one that determines if she backs out of it.
Okay.
She can be the one to determine to say yes, but that has to come from their authority.
Okay.
He has to be able to hear what she has to say.
Okay.
And say, and then to be able to discern it, I mean, because are not women emotional?
Absolutely.
Are y'all not prone to many fears?
Or quit early. Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Sometimes we have that fight or flight spirit on us and stuff, and at this first sign of distress, hey, I don't kick the traces.
Yeah.
You want to make, you understand what I mean? So, again, here we go again, the protection of headship, the protection of leadership over you.
Very good.
That's protection.
That's protection.
I mean, again, I'm going to say this again. Can I say it long again?
Yes.
Can I say it again?
Yes.
I'm a farmer. And I've been doing this a long time.
Yes.
I tend to cattle, sheep, and goats.
Yes.
I'm a good judge of what some good hindquarters are. I can tell you what's good stock and what's not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm saying rely on my experience.
Yes.
Rely on my tenure. Rely on my wisdom. Rely on my discernment. Rely on my protection.
It is a learning process. It is a beautiful learning process. So there's a question that says we hear about the truth and the nature of women, the wickedness of women, as an attempt, of course, to set women free from their behaviors. How do you teach young daughters of Zion to listen with mature hearing and not with ears of rejection? And before this is what comes to my mind instantly, I'm going to give
this example, Pastor.
Yeah, you're going to give me some clarity on that.
Okay.
That sounds like a little confusion.
Okay, yeah. When a young woman is listening, let's say she's 13.
Okay.
Let's say she's 15. Let's say she's 12, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's listening, and you are a large majority of our audience is probably 20 to 45.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with a spirit that's captivated that age group. You're
right.
Dealing with their wickedness. So how do you encourage... She's 12, she's 13, she's 15, she hasn't had these experiences without her hearing from rejection, without her saying, is he against women? Is he, whatever spirits may attack
that young
girl's mind.
First of all, number one, there's no discharge in his war. Are you following me? And the book says open rebuke is better than secret love. All right, so anytime you feel like that you're personally being challenged or you're personally being hit at something, the book, first of all, tells you if you feel that way. Now, the Bible teaches us to walk in the Spirit, not by feelings. Isn't that right? If you feel that way, agree quickly with your adversary. Right? Because the adversary, again, is using ways, deception, to insulate you and to keep you under his tutelage, keep you under his rule. You don't. You should know by now what the fruit of the devil is.
Right.
But who in the world has ever been in any discipline whatsoever at all and has never been corrected?
Right.
Anybody? You play basketball. Did you ever get disciplined?
Yes.
Did it make you better or worse?
Injected out of the, yeah, I kind of, yeah.
You
it
see what I mean?
Better.
Made
much,
you better, didn't it?
Much stronger.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
You see what I mean? I mean, I went through some pretty hard training in the military. It made me build better character.
Yes.
I mean, when I used to drop soldiers for push-ups, I would do it with them because
right.
I knew I could push up the earth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I used to have them to quote over and over and over again, thank you, Sergeant Dow, for conditioning my mind, body, and soul. And he's in pain the whole time down there.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to change his course of action and change his mind.
Yes.
So, I mean, after all, we've been in this faith for a little bit, right? Have we gotten better because it all was downloaded to our mind? Or we've gotten better because of our trials and tribulations?
Right, trials and tribulations.
Paul said, man, I count it all joy.
No discharge.
That's what Paul said.
Yes.
He said, I thank y'all for all my abandonments, my trials, my tribulations, my fastings, my betrayals, and all these things. It's your outlook. It's the way you approach. It's how you view things, from what perspective and what lenses you're seeing things through. If you're seeing things from an offensive lens, then it's going to be offensive. If you're not proud and arrogant, then there's nothing and nobody can say that can offend you.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because remember, the one thing that Yah does is resist the proud, but he gives grace unto what?
Humble.
The humble. See, it's giving you an opportunity to be humble. And so, I mean, just stay humble and don't take everything personally. Now, if you know someone is just personally shooting at you, we just gave you the answers of what to do. We just gave you the answers of what to do. You got mothers. You have the people that are in front of you. For those of you that are married, you have your husband that's in front of you. I mean, women... Y'all are in the best role possible in the universe. Literally, y'all are. When I read the Bible, remember early on me saying this, I'm going to jump this thought for a second. I used to say this. I would read the Torah when we first started coming into biblical marriage, right? So I would read the scripture, and I would study them and pour over them. And I was like, wow, wow. I said, man, they got a good deal. They got a good deal. I'm like, Father, what about us? Well, you get seed.
Right.
You understand what I mean? And you get the woman, you get seed. Yeah, but I got all the duty. I got all the responsibility. I have to be the one to provide. I got to be the one to protect. I got to be the one to counsel. I have to be an instructor. I have to be a head. I'm like, man, what does she got to do? Obey and take care of you. I was like, man, what a deal. What a deal that you have. You get to be at home. I don't know what one wouldn't want to be at home.
Right now.
Now, being at home is no easy chore.
No, it's not.
Especially when you have children, his children.
Right.
There's no easy, because raising children, it's a joy having children. It's a joy rearing and raising children. But that's a task. That is work, literal work. And you either do it or you let the world do it. I would advise you let you do it yourself. But then you have to put the husband before the children. You have to make sure he's well taken care of. He's out the door to go be able to go do his job to provide. And then you turn your attention to the children. And then you have to make sure you maintain the home. It takes a wise woman to do what? Build a house, but what? A foolish woman would do what? Pluck it down with her hands. And the majority of women in America know how to pluck it down rather than build it, because they simply can't change their character. They can't change their nature. They will not be a woman of a meek and quiet spirit, will not be humble, will not have all those beautiful traits. She will not be submissive. She will not be agreeable. She just simply do not want to do her role. But the woman that does want to do her role, she's blessed.
Very good.
She is very blessed. A man would literally run through a troop, leap over a wall, and climb Mount Everest for a woman that his heart safely trusts in.
Very good.
But a woman that's contentious, he'll sit up there with just as much as contention with for you and won't do a damn thing for you. He may do his role, but as far as you getting his heart for him to go the extra mile, he won't do it.
Right.
He won't do it. I don't understand what's really true. I understand what's going on today, but I do know that if we go back to the old paths, establish them, and then work at that, work establishing them, we have the best, not only, I think we have the best ministry anyway in the world. I can't find one and see one that's nowhere in the league or even rival us in any way, shape, fashion, or form when it comes to obedience to the Most High. I just don't see it. I've tried. I've looked. And what we're creating through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Most High Yah, he said the restoration of all things at hand. We're doing it. We're literally doing it. And we have to restore a righteous biblical home before you can have a righteous biblical tribe and before you can have a righteous biblical assembly that is ready for the coming of the Most High.
I'm sure you know this, but the other side of that, Pastor, in the woman's mind is Satan can present that you guys haven't made.
No, sure he can. Okay, I'll tell you what, we can trade roles then.
Right.
All right, so tomorrow I got a dump truck coming.
Right.
It's got 22 tons of rock. All right, and we're going to have to move that and put it on the path.
Right.
All right?
Right. All right. Oh, believe me.
No, no, for real. And then here in a month, we got 8,000 blocks we got to lay. You can come out there and mix mud. You can be out there in the rain, sleet, slow, sun, shine, all day long, every day until the Sabbath come in. And then in the wintertime, I'll sit in and I will cook us a nice chicken noodle soup dinner,
right,
and you go out and hunt.
Right.
You go kill the deer. You go get your ass in that deer stand and freeze your butt off.
Right.
How's Satan talking to you now?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
How's Satan talking to you now? You can go down there. We got a couple more trees we need to cut down. I'll teach you how to run chainsaw. You can get that chainsaw. You chop the tree down, and then you quarter every single bit of that wood. When you get finished quarter, you load it up on the trailer. When you get to load it on the trailer, you get in the tractor. You drive it all the way down to each house, and you put wood on every single porch.
I can't help but laugh. Do you remember all the, if I could say as an abstract term, do you remember all the hell you gave me when I was in my 20s and I said that the women work harder than the men?
Mm,
you remember?
I do.
You rode me so hard. But I must say, in my defense, all these years later, because it's my first time to speak on it, we had some really pissed poor men here. And
yeah,
you remember that that is.
And they're not here either.
You're exactly right. They just can't cut the mustard, as you say.
But name one time, have you ever seen me, Sister Ashley, ever be a piss poor man?
Never. It's true. Never.
I actually try to make sure, and I'm 55 now, I actually try to make sure there's not one man in this ministry that can outwork me. I don't care if I'm in office 3 months. I can still come out here and jump on this building and then run just like that Energizer Bunny.
Yes. You do live as though you have a command on your life.
I do.
And that's very serious. That has to take place in the heart.
I do that to be an example because I want people to actually do better than me.
Yes.
But they have to see an example. And if they don't see an example that is striving really hard, then are they going to strive hard?
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
Are they really truly going to strive hard? No, they're not. They're not. But you can tell right now when you look at the type of men that we have on this community. We got a good group of men on this community. And they're hard workers. And if you notice, we get things done. Not only in this community, but we actually go out to other communities to help assist them build and to get them established and get them going. And so all you women that, hey, y'all think y'all, the men, got it so easy and y'all have it harder than us. The next time Straightway Golson needs help up there remodeling the building, we can put you on the first thing smoking. You can stay away from your family and your children for a whole week.
Right.
Yeah, you see what I mean? See, what Satan does is he's appealing to your ignorance.
Always.
You shouldn't even entertain foolish thoughts like that in any way, shape, fashion, or form. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Shouldn't even entertain it. And like I said before, if I get wind of men physically, verbally abusing their women, and women don't provoke them in any kind of way to cause them to want to even be so stupid like that. Are you following me? Because y'all know y'all got a sharp tongue, right?
Yes.
How much does the Bible warn a woman about a tongue?
Yes.
Huh? You see what I mean? And y'all know y'all can jump into a vile spirit that is unreal. Spirit can come in and take over, boy, and the next thing you know, that man wouldn't even see you as a woman, or he'll see the spirit and literally thinks he's fighting the spirit, if you follow me.
Yes.
But, man, I tell you, I think we have pretty damn good checks and balances here, but we're not mind readers. Sometimes we can discern, but we're not mind readers. You've got to make things known. Well, I've always had an open door policy.
Always. So you probably know this, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Women easily fall prey to the enemy's provoking
mm-hmm.
them to disrespect men because they're so easily allured and seduced by women. That is an easy out for the woman to say a man is weak
mm-hmm.
when he's easily catered or given over to women.
Mm-hmm.
Can you build a defense in that area to the minds of women who are hearing that, believing even that we are guilty of it as a ministry, seeing the weakness of men and men given over to flesh? It has been manifest here. It's not the standard.
Right.
But it is the temptation.
Well, you know, men, again, that's why I said over and over and over again, make yourself known. You heard me say that?
Yes.
Make yourself known, because I spoke about it earlier, how a man, he'll put a gag order on a woman in a heartbeat. And then he don't realize that when you do that, you're sucking the life and the soul coming out of you. You have to understand, y'all more sensitive to the spiritual realm than men are. And that's why y'all bodies suffer so damn much.
Sure.
That's why y'all get ravished yes. so much. And you think you're insulating and protecting this man, and your health is failing you. The demons are just running roughshod over you. I mean, he's literally just having a field day on you. And you think that man at any given time would really truly care about you, or does he care about his secret deceptive reputation? Is that making sense?
Yes.
No. I don't believe so. Let me get this scripture over here real quick. All right? I'll show you. And then here's what you should do more than anything. All right? Watch this. 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your what?
Oh.
That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be what? Warned by the what? Conversation of the lie. And that conversation is a lie. It's not just speech. It's your lifestyle. Yeah. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, who's adorning? Then he goes on to talking about adorning, right? So let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm just going to use believing and not believing, okay?
Okay.
And let's start at verse 13. And the woman which have a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by who? The wife. So that's telling you in both these verses right here, both these passages that we use, that y'all have a spiritual power about you.
Yes.
You really truly do.
Yes.
You have a spiritual power about you that you don't have to be afraid. You just won't use it because you trusted too much in the flesh. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let them do what?
Depart.
depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God have called us unto peace. So suppose I'm sitting up here giving you all this instruction, and yet your husband or your head or whoever it is trying to give you information contrary to what I'm saying right here. Are you following me? All you do is just stick with your guns, knowing to what we've already done said. That's your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. Are you following me? And then he's either going to get right or he's going to get frustrated and say, I can't take this no more, and let the wicked flee then. Is this making sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Because you don't have to be under a tyrannical rule. You don't have to be governed. The book teaches, you see the way the Messiah loves us? And Ephesians 4, it teaches us clearly that we should love our wives as the way the Messiah loves the assembly. Love them enough to gain himself for. I don't know any given time that the Messiah has ever abused any of us.
Right.
But he sure does rebuke the crap out of us. He sure does reprove us. He sure does don't waste no time by putting that Holy Spirit of conviction on us either, though, does he?
Right.
Don't he do that?
Yes.
So, you just have to be able to be strong enough to be able to stand on the principles that are being taught. You have to understand. I said in the video today, who is my teacher? I don't have no man that's 15 years in front of me that could teach me. You follow me? So I'm basically it. I'm basically it when it comes to them that know the law, to preach it, to teach it, and to go for myself and the elders. We talk about things, talk about matters, and we always look for the righteous way. Anytime we've had to adjudicate matters, the Holy Spirit literally comes in and takes over and literally adjudicates the matter himself, because it's the power of Yah and who we're trusting in. So people shouldn't have to dwell in any kind of fear whatsoever at all.
Hallelujah.
I'm on point.
On point. Two more questions, Pastor,
sure,
from me, and we'll call the show. So what would you say to the man who may mistake your preaching administration as the way that he should deal with his wife?
You know, first of all, there's a dynamic of preaching and teaching. Are you following me? I've read it before in Paul when he says, I had to base myself and literally become a fool just so that you could be exalted. You ever heard that before? I would say, you don't confuse the way I preach, the way I teach, because there has to be a dynamic of authority out front. What you should do is look at the fruit of my house.
Right.
That's what you should do. Are you following me? You should look at my Ishaias, any one of them at any given time, and then discern and see where they are. Now, they're weak just like anybody else. I mean, I'm sure that they can probably go and speak to someone about something that they don't believe is right in their own heart and mind. But if I ask for an open door policy, I also am ready for an open door policy.
Absolutely.
See, I'm the type of person, I believe that if anybody has any ought or whatsoever against me, let's bring it out. Let's talk about it in the open. So that way we don't give the devil no place to hide. Are you following me? And all the elders will tell you, I even place myself under accountability. I literally do it just because, you know, you may be saying something. I could be offended at you, but I can't hear you. I can't hear you because I'm offended at you and you're offended at me. So it's wise to follow the steps of the Messiah, bring somebody else in, because I could probably hear them, whereas I can't hear you.
Right.
Because we're both offended. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so you cannot improve on what's already been established. But when you see the dynamic of preaching and teaching, that is in passion, that's a lot of zeal, that's a lot of vigor, and a lot of fire, and it's very sincere. It's supposed to be there to bring the fear of Yah upon us. Because remember, I mean, you think about this. Would you rather hear me speak or rather hear the Most High thunder from heaven?
Right.
Think about that. What did Israel say after they heard the voice of the Most High Yah?
Right.
They said, Moses, we're going to die.
Right. We're
going to straight up die, man. Because imagine, everybody was so arrogant, they think they wanted to hear straight from the Most High. So then he turns around and he raises up preachers to do the exact same thing, but there's a serious buffer in between of power.
Yeah.
Something that your spirit can bear. Because when the Most High Yah speaks, it's hard to bear.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yes, it is.
And it's hard to bear him in you sometimes. Some may say neither.
Oh, I get it.
Yes.
Believe me, I get it. But see, when you look at me, for instance, when I get finished preaching and teaching and stuff, I mean, you watched me for years. How am I usually as a man?
Right, quiet and full of listening ears.
Yes.
See what I mean?
You do much more listening than talking.
I have a role.
Sadly.
I have many hats that I have to put on and have to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And because necessity has been laid upon me, I have to perform the task that y'all has given to me. When I was in the world and I did it something, I didn't just do it half-assed. If I was wanted to succeed, I was going to succeed. You understand what I mean? I didn't want to sit up there and fail at something. You understand what I mean?
Right.
I mean, when I went to U.S. Army jump school, I mean, I got hollered at, I got screamed at, I got literally tormented. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But I still had to meet the conditions and standard in order to pass.
Yeah.
And then after I passed, the same people was doing all that hollering and screaming and everything else. Congratulations, Airborne Welcome. They had a job to do to prepare me for where I was going, which was to my duty station, which was an airborne unit. Are you following me?
Yes. Yeah.
So they had to establish me. They had to take me from being a boy to a man. They had to take me from my position of learning how to wake up anytime I want. Because I'm in the civilian world, nobody over me, nobody doing nothing, in order to conform me and make me into a soldier.
Yeah.
And that's basically what's going on over here, is we're in Yah's boot camp while we're on this earth. There ain't no discharge in this war.
Right.
I mean, he's called you, and he's chosen you, and hope you can please him as a good soldier.
Yeah.
And you have to endure hardness as a good soldier. So stop all this false mummering and complaining stuff and pull yourself up by your skirt.
I mean,
but don't pull your skirt up, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't pull up your skirt. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes. So last question, but can I get a thank you, Pastor, from the audience?
Thank you, Pastor!
I'm sure all of you out there are going to throw in your thank yous as well. A lot of you don't get a chance to see him or talk to him as maybe I do or his own house does. But we thank him. And on behalf of all of us, we do apologize for the criticism, the judgmentalism, the eyes, the stares, the glares, the pressure that you may or we may all put on a man like this who's at the forefront in the limelight for the rest of his life. So
let me say this real quick. Have you ever seen someone that is that's righteous in authority when they corrected, rebuked, reproved, raised their voice and stuff that they did not have your best interest in mind?
Never.
You see what I mean?
Right.
They have your best interest in mind.
Right.
And that's what we need to remember so we don't walk in the flesh.
Best interest in mind leads me to my last question. I don't really even know how I'd want to word the question, but I want to bring up the topic, Pastor. One of the most tender spots in a lot of women when hearing you is their weight. It's
weight.
Their body image.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to go anywhere else in the world and hear such a fiery message towards the change that you need to have emotionally, spiritually, and in your flesh. It's difficult. I'll speak for myself. It was a very interesting war. It was new for me. I never had been big when I gained weight, and knowing what I was doing behind the scenes to try to shake it and knowing the discipline that I was driven to get, it was a hell of a battle. And I know maybe there's somebody out there like that too, but can you, and you just said it, you know, not to take things personal and to be better and to produce change, but can you talk about why you're so serious about the weight or how we should feel? I'll give you an example. If I'm overweight and you walk by, it's automatic in your mind that that's what you're thinking, that's what you're seeing. It's the enemy that's so attached to that because you're wearing it.
Right. First of all, I'm telling you, I can tell you all this, that after I get finished preaching and stuff, I don't, you know, whatever size you are, now, I'm not even thinking or looking at you even that way.
Right.
Anyway, shape, fast, and form. Number two, think about this. Mother Carol has struggled with her weight. And mind you, I'm saying this without mixing my voice and right in front of my wife, who I love.
Right.
But you look at Mother Carol now.
She's
55 years old.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Look at her now.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I mean, if you want to take it personally, you can take it personally. But if somebody was an adulterer, would you want me to keep my mouth shut?
Right.
If somebody practice that, you see what I mean? So, the other day, I think it was maybe a month ago, Mother Lillian used to be a head nurse, right? So, you know, she's very experienced concerning the medical field. So I looked at Mother Lillian. We know Mother Lillian, right? She's 86 years old. She walks this hill. She walks it in, and she don't eat big portions. She's very small portions, just enough to survive.
Yes.
All right? And she does that because she's maintaining herself. I said, Mother Lillian, can I ask you a question? Sure, go ahead, Pastor. So I got one question to ask. I said, how many big women have you ever seen make it over 80? She said, zero. Watch this. Majority of the people who don't take care of themselves, who they say struggle with weight and all this stuff like this, if you don't get a hold of it, you'll live life, but it won't be a quality life. You'll probably be just like my grandmother. She's a big woman. I watched her foot get amputated. And then I watched the same leg get amputated up to the knee. And then I watched the other foot get amputated. I watched her because she was very immobile. I mean, she wasn't big. She was big, though. She wasn't within the standards of, somewhere where she could be. Then I watched the other leg get amputated. Then I watched her leg get amputated from her knee up to her hip on one side. Then it went from knee to hip to the other side, and then she finally died. So if somebody is trying to speak to you in such a way and manner, I mean, I'm 55 years old. I still exercise. Now, if I'm probably harder on myself than anybody. But I don't eat what I see a lot of women eat. As far as portions go in his ministry, I don't. As a matter of fact, my shies, all of them eat more than I do. Every single one of them do. But they also move. They also are very active. And they don't eat like that all of the time. They're very disciplined.
Yeah.
I mean, they can fast 7 days. They'll easily. They'll detox. They'll do all of this stuff very easily, with ease. Every single one of them does. So they are very sincere about the maintenance of their temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's just tell the truth. I mean, come on. I've been to third world countries. A man that has traveled much knows much. I've seen the conditions of those countries. And when they don't have all the things, especially concerning food, at their disposal like we do here in America, I ain't seen big people over there. I've not seen it. I've been as far as Honduras, and I've been north, south, east, and west, and I've never seen what I saw in America. I just don't see it. People can blame it on this, blame it on that, but, hey, you can discipline yourself. People can do it. You can discipline yourself. You do not have to settle for less. You can even get on YouTube and watch people here in America, there are Gentiles that just simply change their minds.
Yep.
I've even talked about on Patreon, I've talked about different places, nutrients, macronutrients, when to eat, what to eat, how to exercise. I mean, all kinds of things. I don't just sit up there reproving, rebuking, correcting, not give a solution. The majority of things I talk about, I give a solution. So it's really truly about loving yourself. Loving yourself, because I can easily let myself go. But if I get finished with one of those sermons like that, and I'm talking about the whoremonger, I'm talking about the adulterer, I'm talking about someone that's blatantly sinning right in front of us, and I'm blasting them, and I blast you for being overweight and stuff, don't take it personally, because when I walk past you and see you, I really truly, that's the furthest thing from my mind. I'm not even thinking about you. I done my job, and now move on.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you for the standard, really. In all areas. Thank you for preaching, get some silver and get some food and prepare the whole nine. Thank you. Any closing words, Pastor? Thank you for your time.
Well, you know, I know that weight is sensitive on the women's side, right? But all I can say is I will tell y'all this. Just look at my household. If you watch my household, you go and you talk to every single one of them, you know, they all love me because they want to please me. Does that make sense?
Yes, they
do. Truly want to please me because I'm a very good husband, a very good man to them. But I don't take it easy on them, especially if I see them going too far one way. If they start going too far, I don't do it because I don't do that with myself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
But instead of paying attention to the demonic spirits, the impulses and the feelings and the emotions that come by, pay attention to truth. Let truth resonate and reign and seep down into your spirit. And don't be so easily offended, because that's what Messiah talked about. And the woe is on to the people who are offended. if you can keep that model, maybe post it on your wall. Open rebuke is better than secret love. There are some people that will let you continue on and do what you want to do and stuff and not ever tell you about it and watch your destruction. At least I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I usually use the shotgun method. I don't usually get personal. You don't see me get in service. You understand?
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't usually see me, what name can I say? Sister Broomhilda, you fat-ass pig, look at you.
Right.
You don't never see me using the rifle method, getting it personal like that, do you?
And some people come from assemblies that are very much like that, very condemning from behind the
And pulpit. I will say that ain't of Yah.
Right.
You follow me? It ain't of Yah. I use the shotgun method.
Yes.
On stuff like that, because it's personal to the person. But, you know, as Israelites, we should want to be the standard in every aspect of our lives.
Yes.
We should want to be the standard.
That's what should motivate you.
But I can tell you what, y'all put your minds at ease if you think that I'm going around thinking about you being overweight or big all day, because I got bigger things, bigger fish to fry and better things to do.
Wow.
So that way you can get rid of that devil and that demons, whoever whispered in your ear, all right?
Hallelujah.
Well, other than that, I've enjoyed my time with y'all. I sure do appreciate y'all having me. Hope I said something to help stimulate thought and to encourage.
Yes. It's nice to see your pastor in this dynamic, huh? Very laid back, just conversating. Hallelujah from the chat room, and Pastor, bless you. You have been here almost 2 hours with me. You are dismissed. I thank you so much. You're going to upload this, and I'm sure it'll get many, many repeat ears.
Right.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. I die for him. All right. Bless you. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for your question. Gosh, I had one more, and I'm just now thinking of it. It's too late. Forgive me, my sister. Jesus. All right. Chef, I got your phone. I'm playing a song, and we're headed out of here. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Ashley. I let Mother Jennifer go just so you can hear the voice of our shepherd. Hallelujah, that we follow so closely. Love y'all dearly. Let's go over here and hear this song.
Wake up, it's time to give thanks. Looks like your hands giving you another day. Hearts pumping, blood flowing through your veins. Lift your hands and give God all the praise. Don't you be ashamed to praise Him. Don't you be ashamed to praise Him. Know that He's giving you everything you need. Cast your cares upon Him. Thank you.
Thank you.